Bring the funk, bring the noise. It is the Noise Cancelling Podcast brought to you by Future Publishing, which encompasses Tech Radar, Tom's Guide, Laptop Mag, all the great ones above. We're here to talk to you about all things tech, try and sound entertaining and knowledgeable and fail miserably at both because I'm English, but Cherie, who is my co-presenter, is American and probably a lot more bombastic about how great everything is. Welcome to the podcast. This is episode number, I should know this, shouldn't I? 20-something.
25.
Episode 25, quarter of a century old.
Quarter life crisis!
There's the difference between us. I was like, quarter of a century old. And Cherie's like, yeah, quarter life crisis, let's go. It's great to be getting older. But talking of things getting older leads me straight into the big question. Does it really? Windows 10 as an update. There's a good strong rumor that copy and paste will never be the same again. This is an oddly popular story on many sites on Future, actually. So copy and paste possibly changing Windows 10 has delivered for us well over 1 million page views, which is slightly incredible. And it shows that people really care about things like copy and paste. It's a fundamental thing that we all care about. So my question to you, lovely listenership, and to the panel today, who we will hear from as we find out their answers, is Windows 10 is changing copy and paste. What other things in the tech world would you never like to see messed with? Cherie, start us off and tell us who you are as well, of course.
I'm Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag. And as a laptop person, something that gets changed anyway, but I hate seeing it change. I hate seeing legacy ports get taken away. Case point, USB type A, because there are no USB type C mice. There are no USB type C external hard drives, mics. Well, the mics are coming, but everything else, you need a dongle. And I detest dongles. I detest them so very much.
Short and to the point. I like it. Matt, first one to answer gets to go first.
I'll take it. I'm Matt Phillips, Tech Radar's video producer. Hello, everybody. And mine is actually almost in direct opposition to what Cherie just said. I've picked the USB-C. I think we've nailed it. We've smashed it. We have the perfect USB cable. Let's stick to it. Everybody get on board. I don't want to see new ports on stuff. I don't want to see a new improved version. I mean, make it faster, sure, but keep the port the same. I think we've nailed it. We've done it. Well done, everybody. Now everybody else needs to get on board. I want to see USB-C everywhere and used for everything.
What, even the iPhone?
100% the iPhone.
Yes, especially the iPhone. And the AirPods. Like, why are you still using Lightning? Why are you like this?
Yeah. Yeah, the Lightning cable will have a relatively short life cycle, I feel like. But good riddance. Bye-bye.
I mean, what's so wrong with the Lightning cable? It looks the same shape as the USB-C, Matt.
Yeah, but it's just Apple being Apple, isn't it? It's just Apple being, yeah, well, we've got our thing, so you've got to use our thing, because we're different. Just get on board with everybody else. Make life easier.
That is true. It would make life easier in terms of... I'd say it's interesting that the iPad Pro has gone that way, because it is more, as Apple thinks, computational. So therefore, you'd want to do more things with it, connect more accessories, etc. However, you don't really connect much to the iPhone these days, apart from, you know, your Lightning cable to charge it. So,
well, and your wired headphones, if you're still rocking Apple's newer versions of those.
But it's not like there's loads of wired USB-C or wired USB-C headphones out there, is there?
But, like, I have seen too many of my Apple friends, my iPhone friends, suffer because I always have a massive power brick, but they never have their Lightning cables, and I always have my USB type C cables. It's like, oh, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If I'm taking my Nintendo Switch out and about with me and a power bank to charge it on the way, I've got a USB-C cable, and now I've got to remember my Lightning cable as well in case I want to charge my phone and whatever else.
Well, other Matthew, what about you? What do you think?
Yes, I am Matt Sweater, managing editor of Tech Radar, the second Matt on this podcast. I want powered VGA cables now that we're on the cable train. No, that's a terrible idea. I'm going to go with, I don't want clicky buttons to ever go away. And there are always rumors that Samsung or Apple, one day in the future, they're working on a prototype of the iPhone, the Galaxy phones, that don't have physical buttons on them. And I never, ever want to see that. There may come a time 50 years in the future, someone stumbles upon this podcast and they say, man, can you know, someone actually thought that clicky buttons should remain a thing. But right now, it just makes too much sense. I love the force feedback. I love the tactile feedback of a button. Software can't replace that.
The HTC, what was it? I can't which one it was now, the HD 12 possibly, or the HTC 12, whichever one it was. That was the first phone I ever used that didn't have clickable buttons. It had raised places to push, but they were haptic. It's just such a bad idea. You need that kind of ability to push in and push out. And I say that in direct contravention to the fact that Apple did the same thing with the home button on, I think, the iPhone 7 onwards, and actually got it really, really spot on, because what you realize that when you actually start pressing it when it's off, you're like, hang on, this doesn't click, this doesn't move, and there's a difference there. But the side buttons especially, that's somewhere that I feel like there needs to be some kind of movement, some kind of feedback, so you just know what you're doing, because otherwise it just feels rubbish.
I agree with that.
Swider's nodding, which is a really useful audio feature, so thank you for that.
I don't agree with it. I can't wait for a no button future. It reminds me of the scene in Back to the Future 2 where he plugs in the old arcade machine and tries to show the kids how to play it, and they're like, oh god, it's a baby's toy, you've got to use your hands, how lame. That's what the future is going to be. I'm going to be wearing my glasses, it's going to be like Minority Report, I'm never going to touch a button ever again. I love it.
Well, I'm in direct contravention of you, Matt Phillips. This is taking it from last week's podcast, but I never want to see the mouse messed with. Ever. Like the iPad Pro, the latest one, obviously has got mouse support baked into it for a very good reason. You know, if Apple can't make the iPad a touch-only experience forever and ever, then there is definitely no reason that we should ever change from it. I don't want to have, like you said, the Minority Report, gloves in the air, moving my hands around, trying to do interaction with that. And I know this is contradicting what I said last week, where I'm like, I really wish the mouse hadn't been invented so we could have great VR. But now we have it. It's the perfect way of interacting with stuff. And the only thing I could imagine is if your gloves had some sort of clickable capability on them in space, so you could feel what was happening and doing the right things. But the mouse is just a perfect implementation of how to interact with our computers, and that should never change. But in terms of the points, I think it has to go to Matt Swider. I think it's one of those things, a lot like the headphone jack, which is my backup option, but we went down too far, a porty cable chat, so I didn't want to go too far with that. But it's one of those things where no one really wants to get rid of buttons. No one wanted to get rid of the headphone jack. I still don't really believe it was taking up that much space.
I don't either. I think it was a poor decision.
We could have held on for longer as well. I feel like, yeah, maybe wireless headphones are going to become the future, but we didn't need to speed up.
But Gareth, you need to buy some Samsung Galaxy Live earbuds. That's the pitch right there.
No, I mean, I love wireless earbuds. Like, I truly love them. Like, I love having wireless headphones. But I think as a world, I still don't think it's the most useful thing. There are times when you sort of, like, every so often I'll dig out a pair of headphones. I'm like, oh, I've got no idea where the dongle is for my iPhone. And yeah, I've been living with it for a while. But there are a lot of people out there who still have headphones that are now just obsolete, or they have, you know, a nostalgia, a desire to use those. And they shouldn't be nostalgic. They're still perfectly serviceable bits of tech. They're not obsolete. It's not like a CD where there's something better's come along. Wireless earbuds are just different. They don't sound better or anything like that. They have a battery life. So anyway, but the point is that mice are great. But the idea of a buttonless phone, I think, is still coming a little bit too soon. I'll be interested to see as and when it turns up. So well done, Swider.
Quick question, Swider. What do you think of the beans, audio wise?
For those that don't know, it's the Samsung Galaxy Buds Live are known as the beans because they look like beans.
They do. They don't taste delicious, I will tell you that. More metallic-y. The review was by Nick Pino, but what I'm confused about, because I did play with them earlier, and why they don't isolate the ear, but they have, you know, some ANC on them, it confused me a little bit. So they're like, hey, we want to make them good, but not that good where there's some isolation of outside noise to them. So I'm kind of confused by the Galaxy Buds Plus, the Live. I just want it all in one pack.
Yeah, like I appreciate that because I'm actually working on my review now, and I'm befuddled by the audio quality. And I'm befuddled because without that, you need noise isolation with truly wireless earbuds. Like, you need it regardless. And especially if you want to bring in some ANC. So ANC without passive noise isolation is just like, well, this is just passive noise isolation squared. I love the look of them. I think they're comfortable as hell for a while because I have tiny ears, but I'm still trying to dig into the audio and the noise canceling piece of this. So I can't wait to get finish up my review today.
I know there are going to be several people listening at home screaming at their podcast device right now, screaming, what is ANC? What is ANC? You've both said it.
Active noise canceling.
There we go. We're on brand for the podcast as well, so thought I'd bring it up.
The irony being that Matt Phillips clearly knows what ANC stands for, but he was doing a lovely, helpful guide for the listeners there, so thank you very much. Anyway, on to things that have happened this week. And on Monday, the embargo broke for the full review of the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra. And I'm having a little wave monitor in front of me, and I made a big shape. Matt Swider, you reviewed this one for us. You had a good couple of weeks with it. What did you think? Is it a good phone? Because it costs, I'm going to spoil it for everybody, $1,299.
Yeah, expensive, but a very, very good phone. I had more fun testing this phone than any other phone in 2020. And I, test out a fair bit of phones. This one, they get the camera right in so many ways where other manufacturers do not. And it's not just the photos that look good, although they do. And maybe in all situations, they're not the best photos. But it's the filters on there, the ease of use of the app, and the zoom, especially the zoom. It has a 5x optical zoom, which is really great. Photos appear clear at 5x, even 10x with a little bit of digital zoom. And it goes up to a 50x digital zoom. So you get in there closely. I traveled to the tip of Manhattan, which is technically Governor's Island, and I got pictures of the Statue of Liberty, which is, extremely far away, but you're not getting a good photo on your average smartphone. This is not your average smartphone, as you mentioned the price, but it definitely is at the top end when you come to, look at the camera, the horsepower on there, and then it has the S Pen. So all around, I call it Samsung's everything phone, and it just throws all the features at you that you could possibly want. Everything except really fast wireless charging, which they backed off of. It doesn't have 45 wireless charging. Other companies in the next year are pioneering 100-watt wireless charging. So this is limited to 25 watts out of the box, and there's no option to upgrade that despite the Note 10 Plus and the all three S20 phones having that option. So it's kind of weird, but everything else pretty futuristic about this phone.
I don't understand particularly what it is that really, really sets this apart from the Note 10 Plus. What is it the key upgrades for it? People said the exact same things about the Note 10 Plus last year.
Yeah, that had two times optical zoom. It's been a whole year since I've, used that phone. But what differentiates 5x optical zoom from everything else out there is the fact that I feel like I was testing out next to the iPhone 11 Plus or iPhone 11 Pro Max. And when I zoomed into the Statue of Liberty on the iPhone, I felt like the 2x optical zoom was merely cropping the border a little bit. I felt like it wasn't punching in at all. Especially when carrying around the Note. So the optical zoom is just better than anything out there. They've already, they also addressed a lot of the concerns I've had in the S20 Ultra. The autofocus was off on that quite a bit. And they issued some software updates, and even after a couple software updates, it's still not great. To the point where I do recommend to people the S20 Plus over the Ultra, because it's the autofocus is not very good on that phone. So this fixes the autofocus issue. It has the 108 megapixel camera, the 5x optical zoom, but the really good autofocus, so it's the best of both worlds.
Apart from the camera though, where are the big upgrades coming? Is the screen better? Is it faster? Is the S Pen's latency, I read, was much better. Is that a genuinely step up drawing experience on it?
Yeah, the S Pen has been improved over last year. Latency is definitely improved, but besides drawing, the standout feature I feel that no one is talking about is the ability to have voice notes and audio and scribble down notes. So you have the audio and the scribble down notes that you take with the S Pen on top of the screen, and they sync together. So if you're talking about, if you're a student and you're in some sort of lecture and the speaker talks about a bunch of different points, you don't have to write every single thing down. As a journalist, I'll find this useful in briefings. Someone's talking about the specs and they go really quickly, and you're trying to write down 128 gigabytes of storage, 12 gigabytes of RAM, every single little spec, they're rattling through stuff. all you have to do is write specs or even an X and then go back to that. And it turns the audio, the voice note, into what amounts to an interactive timeline. So it's something, an idea I suggested to Samsung. I said this on a previous podcast, but like a couple years ago, I'm like, you have to take this idea that is in a product called LiveScribe and apply it to the S Pen, because I don't feel like carrying around a separate device. The S Pen, you know, has this ability to go inside the phone and inside like a little holster, and it's just much more convenient. So they finally adopted that for the Note 20 Ultra.
You're not going to get the royalties, Swider. You can say it twice on the podcast. You're not going to get the royalties.
All I want, I don't even want money. I just want somewhere in the source code, say Swider somewhere, just deep in the source code, so I know it.
How about we just pretend that S Pen is S for Swider? How about that?
Oh, I love that.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Great minds think alike, Phillips.
There we go.
Sheree, are you going to, I mean, you're probably going to buy one of these, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I've been using a Note for a large portion of my journalism, like, since the Note originally came out, like, and it's gotten better and better in regards to me being a working journalist and having to take notes, and, like, that feature alone, like, being able to transcribe while it's transcribing and I'm writing notes and it making that internet, like, yeah, I'm all in.
So why not go for the Note 10 Plus from last year? Save a bit of dollar. You should see Sheree's face right now. The idea of not having having the new thing, like, what? It's not new. Like,
yeah, yes, because I'm like, but not new.
What am I gonna do? Sell one of my TVs to pay for it? And, yeah, obviously.
Why are you like this? Why do you like? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? Like, why are you like this?
I was feeling bad until he started quoting lyrics at me there. So. Right, the other big story this week is Fortnite versus Apple. And if you haven't heard about this, where have you been? Epic, maker of Fortnite games, basically just clearly had a good thought about the fact that, you know what, we're tired of Google and Apple taking 30% revenue of everything that we do on their app store. So we are going to directly break the rules just so we can start a lawsuit and put out a very fancy video. Matt Phillips, you've been all over this. What do you think? What's happening? Tell the people.
Yeah, super interesting, right? Like you say, it was clearly a well thought out plan on Fortnite's part. They had this sort of parody video ready to go that mimicked the 1984 video from Apple that came out years and years ago when they were standing up against the bad boys of the time.
IBM back then.
Exactly. So and Fortnite have said, well, we're going to do the same thing now, but to the monopoly that is Apple. And you're right, they did it to Google as well. The exact same thing happened, although it seems like people are talking less about Google Play removing Fortnite, I guess because Apple is just so much sort of bigger. And you know, Fortnite came out and said they've just removed Fortnite from a billion devices, which kind of puts in perspective.
Which they haven't, though, because the fact is that it wasn't it was taken off there. It just means that you can't download it anymore.
Sure.
To that point, there are now iPads and phones on eBay selling with Fortnite for thousands of dollars. I don't know whether they're actually selling, but they're being listed for that much. Yeah, people are chucking their devices on there to save, to try and make dollar when it can be done.
That is very tempting for me. I've got Fortnite on my iPhone 10 and I'm looking for a move away from iPhone, so maybe that's my avenue through.
Come to the Android side.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's the point, that the Android side, the reason that Google isn't getting as much flack is because you can still install it from myriad other stores. So you could, if you've got Samsung, you can get it there. You can sideload the app yourself straight onto your phone. It lacks what Google says, the security side of it. You know, so if you do sideload it from somewhere, it's not officially from Epic. You know, the updates are more difficult, etc. But it is not blocked from Android phones. It's just harder to get. It is definitely blocked from Apple phones and the updates going forward, because Apple phones are locked down. And that's why Apple is getting the main flak here.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'd be interesting to see what happens now when the next major Fortnite update comes along, and potentially it will disable the game for Apple users. I don't know. But I would have assumed that's the way it goes. But who knows?
But then there's also the side of it that, you know, the mobile device is by far not the biggest area for Fortnite in terms of its playership. You've got PC, you've got PlayStation, you know, you've got the console side of it as well. And so Epic can, not that it would want to do this, because it makes a lot of money off the App Store, but it could afford to. It's not losing everything. It's segmenting off a portion of it, a very large billion-dollar-ish portion of it, admittedly. Don't lose that. But it is not everything. So, and there's also that point about, you know, the young upstart taking on the corporate behemoth. I mean, Epic is not a small company. You know, it is not a little company at all. And it's wading into a bigger thing now with the Unreal Engine, which powers so many games on the App Store. That could also be under fire, basically. Could be having a problem for updates and for games being using that as well. So this could have much more far-reaching effects through the app ecosystem right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not alone either, right? Project xCloud, won't be coming to Apple for basically the same reasons. And that's Xbox's Netflix-style gaming streaming service. And yeah, that's basically not coming to Apple either for the exact same reasons. And that, more so than Fortnite, for me personally, is a draw away from Apple. I think that's a huge deal. I think game streaming is going to become as ubiquitous as TV and movie streaming, has become in the last sort of 5 years. And if Apple aren't getting on board, yeah, it's enough to pull somebody like me away.
Oh, Apple's going to get on board, but Apple's going to do Apple things. Like, oh, well, you're not going to make money and you're not going to do this on our platform before we do it. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. They'll, like, maybe next year, they'll be like, oh, by the way, now Apple Arcade is streaming. It's a game streaming service. And then they'll let Microsoft come and play in, mm-hmm. GeForce yep. Now and all the cloud streaming services. But until Apple plants its flag, oh, no.
Well, wasn't the point with the xCloud that Apple wanted to vet every title on it first? Because it was basically like being an app store within the app store, which is what Apple's trying hard to fight against.
It kind of felt like to me they were trying to find a rule that they'd written down somewhere that allowed them to say no to Xbox, right? And they were trying to find this kind of, oh, no, look, it's written down over here that we need this very specific thing from you that you're definitely not going to sort of get behind because of the work involved. That's what they said.
Yep.
But who knows if that's the case.
Yep.
PlayStation also said, oh, we can't allow crossplay because of the children that play on our console and we have to look after the children and protect the children. Whereas really, they just
won't someone think of the children?
They have more PlayStations than Xbox.
You mean those children that are saying these foul-mouthed things to me when I'm playing in chat and basically made me not stop playing in chat unless it's with people I know? Those children? Yeah, okay. They need protecting.
Right, Cherie, what's been going on in the world of laptop stuff? I mean, obviously, Big Sur is the number one thing that's happening in the world of Mac world. You love Macs, right?
Yes. I use one for work. I'm a gamer, so it doesn't make sense for me to use it in my personal life. I use it for work. Big Sur is in public beta right now, so if you want to try it out, you are more than welcome to download it. There are a ton of changes that are going on, like redesigned icons, like just the design piece of it. It's just gorgeous. So when you, it took me with my internet about an hour to get it all downloaded, like, and it's just so, just the opening screen, the home screen is so much more colorful than what you had or Catalina or Mountain Lion and the rest of them. Like, it's just like this vibrant watercolor feel. They've introduced widgets, so it's very much the like a lot of people were calling it this. I can't remember who started the phrase, but the iPadification of the MacBook. So it's very tablet-like or smartphone-like in its operation. Like, the widgets are customizable, icons are rounded and easy to use, and even the notifications have gotten a nice little tweak, and it's just nicer presentation and it's still easy to use. Even Safari got a bump up, which I typically don't use Safari unless I'm doing a tech support showdown work where I'm going undercover and I have all my secret aliases and Twitters and Facebooks going. But I would be more apt to use Safari now. It's just a more streamlined experience. And I think that, of course, if you're going to do this, back up your system with Time Machine before you do it, just in case, because this is still beta. We're not going to be in full Big Sur mode until September or a little bit later, at like towards October, when it's like full Big Sur. But absolutely highly recommend downloading this, playing with it. It is a really great experience.
Everyone agrees. Everyone just looks like, well, how do you dispute when someone says it's really good? Get it.
What doesn't it have that you really want it to have?
A swider pen.
A swider pen. I mean, for me, since I'm not a heavy Mac user like that, I'm fine with what they gave me. I'm ask me about Windows 10 and then we can go into it. But Mac, it's like, nah, it does what I needed to do. It, like, I'm looking at my 80 tabs right now and it hasn't crashed. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to be able to let me do my searches, write my articles, run through all my G docs and my spreadsheets and stuff like that, and maybe watch a video every now and then. That's all I need this to do. I'm not gaming on it. I'm not doing anything that...
I feel like an interesting point that you brought up was the start screen, right? Which is now is super colorful and vibrant. And I feel like in 2, 3, 4 years' time, they're just going to revert back to being clean and minimalist and black and white. And you'll praise that as well.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, these things go in cycles, right?
I am always going to be a big fan of color. It's bad enough that... most laptops are some very, it's like 50 shades of gray, like for real, but not in that fun way.
what is that fun way? Sorry, Sheree.
I mean,
that's a different podcast.
Yes, if I answer that question, it will no longer be PG-13. So, but if I can't have the color that I want in my exterior of my laptop, I definitely want it on my interior. And I'm glad that Apple leaned into that. It was like, color. I'm like, yeah.
What, one of the apps that I can't stand that is limited to my iPhone, you talked about the iPadification of this, of Mac OS, which, I mean, if no one's claiming it, I will pretend to have come up with that and coin that phrase. But it is the activity app. So that is all well and good on my iPhone, but when I'm sitting on a Mac, and like you, I use a Mac for work all day, and I actually use it in my personal time, I can't stand the fact that I have to go to a smaller device, one with an inferior keyboard, as great as the keyboard is on phones these days. I have a keyboard right in front of me, and it's the one thing I appreciate about iMessage. I can do it on an iPad. I can do that on a Mac. I can do it on an iPhone. But I can't look up the activity that I just completed and see graphs on a big screen. It's all limited to an iPhone. So there are a couple apps that I want to come to Mac, and it just hasn't happened yet. And I think it'll eventually happen.
I don't use iPhone enough to know what activities are. So I'm just like, I don't know.
So... talking about taking flight, and I was like, we didn't say that. I thought about it and I tried to segue from my own thought process. That's not going to work. But Flight Simulator has been a thing this week. I don't understand Flight Simulator. I don't understand simulators at all. Like, why do people use simulators? And the more I've looked at Flight Simulator, the more I have realized that people are nuts for this thing. They are in love with it. And admittedly, having looked at it, the graphics are beautiful and it basically you can see the entire world. But Matt, have you played it?
I haven't played it yet. They've sent me a code. Me and Matt Hansen, our senior computing editor, who reviewed the game for us on TechRadar. Also go check out his thoughts on TechRadar.com. But we streamed kind of an hour of it on Friday together. So I watched him play it for that. And we sort of explored the world. And like you say, it's using Bing Maps to like map out the world. And it's got real-time weather as well. So wherever you're flying, whatever the weather is there, that will be the weather when you get there. It's incredible stuff. It really is. And
I didn't even know about the weather. That's crazy.
Yeah. The amount of planes they've put in and it's one of those games that there's so much attention to detail in it. It's kind of mind blowing, right? Like if 10 years ago you'd looked at Flight Simulator and what it was then and said, oh, well, in 10 years time, you're going to be able to go literally anywhere in the world and it's going to be basically photorealistic and live weather updates and stuff. You'd have thought you were mad, but you're right. There is like a seriously hardcore fan base around this game. And what I think is interesting about it is it's also coming to Game Pass. So this is, you know, £15 a month, roughly, from Xbox, depending on your region. And a lot of people are investing in Game Pass. There's a lot of games coming to Game Pass that are really interesting. Flight Simulator, I think, will be introduced to a whole new sort of version of gamer, if you like, a whole new sort of demographic of gamer through Game Pass. And so it'll be really interesting to see what happens when it comes there, how popular it gets, because I think there's a certain serenity to it, right? And it's almost like meditation playing the game.
Yeah, but when Matt Hansen was talking to the team about it and we asked him, do you enjoy it? He's like, do I enjoy it? And he couldn't really say yes, even though he said it was really rewarding.
Yeah.
And it seems to be like hobbyist almost. You know, if you look at the prices for it, $60 to start with for the standard edition. That gives you 20 planes and 30 aircraft, handcrafted, apparently, with a sort of like craft, you know, hipster airport. Deluxe edition for $90 with 5 more planes and 5 more, I assume, handcrafted airports. And then there's the premium deluxe, weird name, that adds 10 additional planes and 10 more airports, as well as all the extras that came with the previous versions. That's $120. And I'm thinking, to do what? To just fly around? But it, like you said, it's just so engaging. Like, you can see the people playing it. It's so engaging.
Exactly.
Well, I think that is a perfect point for us to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be doing the news blast with new player Matt Phillips. You've never done it before, right?
No, I haven't, but I'm here to win.
Here to win.
Oh, snap.
Oh, it's going to happen some point. And then after that, it's time for the ever popular Unpopular Opinions. We'll be right back. And we're back. I would like to say I've had a relaxing break. I haven't. I am squished into a very small corner of my bedroom trying to improve the audio of this flipping podcast. I've lost my bottle of water. I've had an unsatisfying sandwich before we started the podcast. I'm still annoyed about it. So let's get on with this, because I want to find out how good Matt Phillips is at the news blast. And for those that haven't understood, this is the news in 60 seconds. So you've got 60 seconds, Matt, to do as many news stories as possible from the world of tech in the last week. And the only rules are you have to tell us the title of what's happened and give a very brief summary so we understand it. You will be judged if you don't get the right level of meaning across. Cherie, can you do the time? Because I haven't got my phone to hand.
Yep, let me cue it up.
Let me do my vocal warm-ups.
Yeah, do that.
Me more.
3, 2, 1, go.
Apple expands its third-party repair program, so now it's going to be even easier to get your device fixed. Jack Black is making a cameo in Tony Hawk 1 and 2 Remake. Very cool indeed. New Batman game is likely to be announced this weekend at DC Fandom, and the main villains are going to be the Court of Owls. Think like Gotham City's Illuminati. Microsoft Netflix-style streaming service Project xCloud is not coming to iPhone. We've already talked about it. Microsoft Surface Pro X now uses AI to adjust your sort of eye line when you're in video calls with people, so it looks like you're making eye contact with them. Very cool indeed. Ghost of Tsushima is getting a free co-op update later this year, and I'm very excited about it. Marvel's Avengers DLC video game character list leaked, and it's got Black Panther and She-Hulk in it. Very cool. Nintendo hosted a live stream on the 18th and showed off a whole load of indie games, but nothing of that much interest. Just give us Breath of the Wild 2, please, please, please. Samsung A51 and Galaxy Fold will be getting 3 years of updates. I don't think that's enough personally, but hey-ho. On the day we're recording, it's World Photography Day. Woohoo! Panasonic teased a new full-frame mirrorless camera. And my last one that I didn't quite get to, I put in there because I knew Gareth would have some opinions.
So Matrix 4 won't have Lawrence Fishburne in, aka Morpheus. Sad times for Gareth. I still believe that they might be there.
Yeah, because like the uproar when he said that, people were like, what? Like, they didn't invite him. Like, yeah, no, I can't see
it's the- because they it's because they killed him by accident in the Matrix Online, didn't they? That multi, you know, the MMORPG.
Mm-hmm. That thing that all four people on planet Earth played.
Yeah, because I'm like, what are you talking about?
I just downloaded the memory book of it so I could read the storyline to find out what actually happened in it.
Also, it's the Matrix. You can bring him back to life.
This is very true.
Like, Neo is digital Jesus, so yeah. Like, why? No.
And also, spoiler alert, if you don't want to listen, if you haven't seen the Matrix and you're looking forward to it, where have you been? But shut your ears for the next 10 seconds. Trinity is dead. So she, and apparently she's in the next film, so there's already that. So what gives? Where's, anyway, so I'm hopeful this is just a clever ruse anyway. I'm not sure. I feel like you got to the 11th story, but I don't know if you managed to get enough of it out.
Fair enough. I'll take 10. But doesn't that put me in like second place?
Yeah, great, yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'll take it.
Who's in first place?
I don't know.
Surprise, surprise. Gareth, the man who invented the game and went first.
Yeah, off the bat, straight away. Unassailable.
Also, he got 11 and now he's trying to make out that I didn't quite get my 11th in the right time. Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay. It is time for everyone's favourite section, not baiting Gareth. Cherie, what is it?
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. I forgot what we're hating on. Oh, yeah. iOS 14 does suck. Let's talk about unpopular opinions.
Matt Phillips, this is you. Take it away. I mean, your popular opinion can be, I definitely got 11, but what else do you think?
Yeah, so iOS 14, I've had it on my phone for little under a month, the beta, obviously. And so things will change, I'm sure. Things will get better, but I kind of hate it. I kind of hate everything about it. Widgets are like sort of their big new feature, and they've got this smart stack widget. So I've put that on my home screen. It's at the very top of my home screen, and it shows you, you know, photos sometimes, and then it's supposed to guess through like AI and learning your habits what you might be looking for when you open up your phone. So it'll show you reminders or notes or whatever. And every time I've opened my phone, it's been on photos. And sometimes they're nice photos of me and my girlfriend. Sometimes they're just screenshots that I took of a website for reference later, and it's boring and rubbish. And then the app library is useful. I don't want to have to see all of my apps, but muscle memory has kicked in. I've been using an iPhone for a long time, so the swipe down to search function, I just use that over the app library. It's difficult, right? I don't want to be kind of a curmudgeonly old man and be like, change is not good, but change is not good and I don't like it.
Change is not good, I don't like it. Cool.
Oh, so you have an axe to grind.
No, I've been, you know, ripping on Apple a fair bit in this podcast and sort of saying I've been wanting to move away from Apple. And that's true. I have been wanting to move away from Apple for a very, very long time, but I've been sort of stuck in the ecosystem. But this week, my Apple Watch broke as well. So I've already kind of got a tiptoe out the door. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, it was a Gen 1 Apple Watch that I've had for, well, since they came out. So a very long time indeed. And the screen just popped off this week. So there we go. Time to move on.
Yeah, I like iOS 14 for not necessarily the widgets. The widgets are okay. That app library is terrible. No one needs that. but the compact calls, so having the ability for the screen to not overtake your entire screen on what you're doing is really nice. And then picture-in-picture. I use that every day when I do a FaceTime, and I get to kind of not pay attention to the call and do something else. Kind of like doing this podcast, and just, I wrote a review.
Oh. I am excited because in the beta, an interesting little tidbit that I didn't know before installing the beta, so it might put you off installing it. You can't use financial apps with it, so no banking apps and stuff, because it thinks your phone is jailbroken, which is kind of a big deal for a lot of people. So
that is very useful. I do have financial apps that I use.
There we go. So don't get the beta. Wait for the full release. So I'm looking forward to the full release because I'll get my banking apps back and I'll be able to see that I have no money, which would be great.
That's actually a really good thing for people, because I've been meaning to download the iOS 14 beta just to see what it's like. And people say, don't put it on your main device for, you know, it could break it, security. I'm like, blah, it'll be fine. I'm sure.
Yep.
It wouldn't put out something that's terrible, right? But it's that those are the kind of small things that you're like, oh, and then you wouldn't have anyone to blame but yourself, because the warnings are there. Like, this won't be finished. So this is at your own risk. And it's important to, you know, and especially in this day and age where you think, well, I'll be looked after by the big companies, surely. But no, not everything works.
Yeah, the way I found that out was I did a little video for Tech Radar that was how to install the beta. And my dad rang me quite angrily a couple of hours after that video went live and says, I've updated and now I can't use any of my banking apps. What the hell's going on? So I had to go through the process of reverting back with him. And that was even more of a nightmare. So moral of the story, wait for the full release, but also don't get very excited about iOS 14 because it's not that great.
I like Gareth's intention by, you know, the end of the week to have iOS 14 beta, and probably I'm predicting a Slack message. Hey, do we have an article about how to roll back to iOS 13? We definitely need that.
First of all, I can search our own site. And secondly, if we don't, I'm blaming the James Beckham. And thirdly, I'm not going to do it because I do need my banking apps. So I'm not going to I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just try and find the old iPhone somewhere. And no, I'm not going to do it, let's be honest. Right. I think we are out of time, everyone. Thank you for... That was a fun podcast. It was a shame, Matt, you didn't make it to 11. I really am sorry for you. Really.
I'm coming back. I'm going to be... I'm going to be on every week now until I beat you. I make the rules, right? I book the guests for the podcast. So now I'm just going to be here every week until I beat you.
Yeah, but I make the rules for the game. So let's see how that pans out. So if anyone has any more thoughts to get in contact with us, you can use multiple different ways of getting in contact with the podcast. You can use the @TechRadar hashtag, the @TechRadar Twitter account to get in contact with us that way. I think Laptop Mag has some stuff, Shuri, as well, right?
Absolutely. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm thinking about rolling out an Instagram, laptopmag.com. And if you want to contact me personally, you can find me on Insta and Twitter at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And as always, laptop before, laptop present, laptop forever. And we are constantly looking for freelancers. So if you have a techie idea that covers mobile tech or something that plugs into a piece of mobile tech, send us your pitch. We want to see them.
Matt Swider, have you had a lovely day today?
I have. It was a good podcast. There were laughs, and sometimes I inspired those laughs. Sometimes they were on account of me. So that's always good. You can find me on TechRadar, all the articles, and at Matt Swider, S-W-I-D-E-R, like spider, but Swider.
Matt Phillips, how about you?
Yeah, you can find me at Matt P Video on all the different socials. But the main thing is to go to TechRadar on YouTube and subscribe, and then you will see my lovely face quite a lot.
And I have been Gareth Davis, Global Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. I can't remember if I introduced myself at the start. If not, there you are. What a surprise. I am SuperBeeve on Twitter. I am Don SuperBeeve on Instagram. I forgot what actually my handle was there. I don't use it very much. But I do post pictures once in a while. And of course, TechRadar for all the socials. We made it very easy to find them on pretty much everything. It's the one recently, Matt, we joined. We didn't find out the name for it.
Oh, TikTok.
That was it, yeah.
But we haven't decided if we're going to do anything with TikTok. Tweet at TechRadar if you want us to start making TikToks, guys. We'll make some TikToks. Be me dancing in my spare bedroom because we're all still at home because of the pandemic, so...
We'll need a username as well.
Well, yeah, that too.
But yeah, thank you very much for listening. It's been a good podcast as ever, and we look forward to hearing... Well, you can look forward to hearing us on episode 26 next week. If you do like us, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. Give us 5 stars if you think it's worth it. And we are, of course, part of the Audioboom Originals Network. Check out many other fine podcasts there. Everything's done. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.